This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Latest deal, Jeff McNeil, now in Oakland Athletic. Let's head out to Elwood. It's Dan. It's the Fan. Kick it off the noon hour. What's going on, Danny?
Hey, Moose. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, Dan. How about yourself, bud?
Doing well. Just driving back from LaGuardia. Dropped off my mom at the airport. Quick question for you. Do you know Michael Lewis, the author of Moneyball and The Big Short?
Yeah, I know the name. I don't know him personally, but yes, I read Moneyball. Yeah, very good writer, very good author. Yes.
So he has a podcast called Against the Rules. Did 10 episodes long. He does a full series on gambling, and I want to ask you as a father, because one of the things as you were talking earlier on your boys,
yeah,
he says that the convo is no longer the birds and the bees, but rather the parlays and the pick'ems. So now that you have boys that are coming of age, they know what to do, gambling is everywhere, is this something which you're treating as a forbidden fruit? How are you handling it? What are you going to do if you say, what, you're not till the age and of age and you catch them doing it early? Because I know for me, we started, you know, fantasy sports when we were in high school. It all grew, and same thing even with alcohol. We were drinking beers in high school and whatnot, so...
Yeah, so the question
is,
the question is, have I addressed gambling with my kids? To an extent, right? I could throw a joke out there, but I understand where you're going. you address in a certain way. They play fantasy sports, or two of them, Gregory, who's a huge football fan, huge Giant fan, and Paul, and they've got leagues with their friends, right, from school, and they do that, right? So they get into drafting the team and doing all of those things, right? We just talk about the fact of none of them have phones yet. Two of them have watches, Apple Watches, just from being able to stay in touch, especially when, you know, they're out playing hockey and stuff like that. So our youngest son does not. Have I addressed gambling with them? Yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, they're still 12, 10, and 9. I haven't gone through it. It's a matter of being responsible with it, understanding what you can and what you cannot do. It can be something that's fun as long as it doesn't, just like in moderation, just as long as it doesn't take over your life, where it becomes, that's the end all be all. It's become, obviously, when I grew up, it wasn't as predominant as it is right now. So it's a, you know, it's a completely different mindset. But yeah, there are things that you need to do. And we talk about being, you know, responsible. We talk about being, you know, good people, you know, good kids, being respectful, taking care of your brothers, being good to mommy and daddy, being a good friend. You know, those are kind of the core staples, you know, helping out family when they need help. But also from the outside looking in, when you're looking at things like whether it be gambling or everything, like, yeah, it's going to be out there. And I'm not going to say that you can't do it when you're of age, but you have to be responsible when you do so.
And it was just something more kind of for your audience to hear your opinion on it. And even just something maybe to interject of a little kind of like, hey, how am I going to really be handled? Because majority of kids in high school these days are betting. And even when they're not of age, they're still making and placing bets. And there's all these ways
getting
around it.
I mean, Danny, still, I can't speak to everybody else. I'm just concerned, you know, and what's going on. I understand that, where it is. I'm not naive to the aspect of it. You know, I think I like the fact that you can do it. Like, and I grew up playing horses and I still do to this day. I love the Kentucky Derby. I was at the Kentucky Derby first time I was ever there. I was 16 years old driving out. My dad drove all night from Blauvelt, New York to Louisville, Kentucky, to make sure that we were there for Oaks Day the Friday before. That was 1992. That was the year of Arazi. And I think it was Little E.T., first Derby victory for Pat Day, that won that rendition of the Kentucky Derby that year. But, you know, I grew up going to the racetrack, you know, so, you know, I've been around it kind of my entire life. And I think it's okay. I think it's great. I mean, I the fact that everything is, you know, how available it is now, but I think you got to just be responsible with it. And I can't worry about what's going on with other kids and other families. All Donna and I can worry about what's going on in our household and how we handle it here moving forward in a myriad of different things. So you brought up one of them. Interesting conversation, interesting point. Dave in Stamford, Connecticut's up next to the fan. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, Moose, what's happening, man? Good to talk to you again.
How you doing, Dave?
First, I want to start off, you know, I called in probably, I think it was the 2024 season right before the trade deadline, and I was vouching to trade Pete, and he called me a clown, and I want to give you a mea culpa. You were right. We kept him that year. We made the run. We should have signed him. But now we look back 2 years later, and Stearns let him walk. And one of the comments you made was, where are you going to get that production? 35 home runs at first base. Where do you get that? So I don't get what Stearns is doing here. I think from my perspective, I think Stearns has a little bit of an ego, right? I think he wants to do it his way, as you've mentioned. I think he wants to get his guys in. You've already seen the Tyrone Taylor come in from the Brewers. You got Devin Williams from the Brewers. There's links about Peralta and McGill coming over. I think this really comes down to Stearns wanting to have his fingerprints on this. So whether he succeeds or fails, he can say it was his guys and they weren't holdovers from the old regime. I mean, I think if you look at this, right, he should have gotten fired Mendoza, not his entire staff and not him. Mendoza had the talent in the clubhouse, had big-time talent. He should have been able to at least manage that from a player perspective if he's a player's coach. And then also, you know, if you are looking now to potentially trade for a Scooble or trade for a Peralta and give up all these prospects, why not keep that core who got us to the playoffs the last two of the last 4 years? You could have traded for a big-time pitcher, you know, and given up those prospects that we were trying to hold on to. So I just don't get what's going on here with Stearns. I really think what it comes down to, he's got an ego, and he wants it to be his team and his ego,
I think everyone's got an ego. Right. So no matter what you do, right, you feel good about yourself. I tell students at Iona, when I teach a class, you've got to be the biggest fan of yourselves, because you don't can't expect outside of your family, mom, dad, aunt, uncle, whatever it might be. You know, you've got to be the biggest fan of yourself. So everyone's got an ego in life. Now, the question is that ego helpful or hurtful? Now, you look at Stearns. I'll present it to you this way, Dave. Based on the way that the season ended, Stearns was presented and how disastrous this past year was. Stearns was
kind of his doing though, not getting the pitching.
No, I get it. I'm not taking blame away from him. Like, I kicked off the program talking about it. It had nothing to do with chemistry. It was the fact that the Mets didn't have starting pitching. The Mets didn't have enough. He was presented with an opportunity. And the opportunity was I'm going to be able to move forward now. And he has taken advantage of that opportunity to mold this team as he sees fit. So he doesn't necessarily believe in stars. He believes in grinders. And he's going to start to build this team in his vision. I mean, that's it. Because we might be having, Dave, we might be having a completely different conversation a couple days before Christmas. If the start of the Mets season was the entirety of the Mets season, they lose to the Dodgers once again in the National League Championship Series, we might be having a completely different conversation about the structure of this roster today, given what transpired, if that happened as compared to transpiring what did happen. And
that's
I think now, based on how it went, they leaned into what happened 2 years ago in the National League Championship Series, and it didn't work. So the frustration is there, and his basically mantra, I wouldn't tell you I was in the room, I wasn't, but I would imagine it would be, well, we did it this way, you brought me in here, now I want to do it my way.
Well, this might end up being a Nico Harrison. I mean, you look at what he did with the Mavs and trading Luka and the fan blowback and how bad the team performed and brought in injured Anthony Davis. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think, okay, maybe Cohen might give Stearns this year, but if he doesn't bring in the right players, there's no big plan that comes together, and we're looking at this thing again come you know July 1st, and we're 10 games under 500. I hope Cohen can, you know, being a business guy, can admit, hey, I made a mistake.
I think he will.
I listened to the wrong guy, and yeah, we let him go.
Dave, I think that's well within the reason, but he's going to give this guy an opportunity to operate this team as he sees fit. And there is the other roadway that it works. There is that pathway as well. Like there is that pathway to where the Mets are successful, that it does work, that you have the combination of the mind of David Stearns with the wealth of Steve Cohen moving forward here. That, you know, there is that possibility that it works as well. But I do think how the season ended presented an opportunity for David Stearns now to be able to put his impact, his imprint on this organization and his team. And that's why you brought him here, because you believed in his vision. So if it doesn't work, he'll be fired. There's no doubt. I don't think Steve Cohen's going to just sit here for 10 years and watch this team fail and say, wow, you know what? A guy grew up a Met fan. I'm going to continue. No, I think he'll be out with the bathwater.
Well, listen, I think if Stearns can bring back some, you know, maybe there is a big trade in the works, there's a big signing in the works, who knows? But the one thing I'm hearing about this clubhouse chemistry, I mean, I don't get it, right? I mean, as any Mets fan, any just team fan, right? The team fandom is what unites anyone. You could be young, old, black, white, man, woman, furry, whatever you want to be.
Furry.
You're cheering for your team. You love everybody, right? It's one of those things that how can a clubhouse not come together to try to win? I think Stearns, if he wants to build a culture, it's got to be with the right guys, but you also got to have some power stars. It can't just be Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor.
Come on, no, as Zeal pointed out on SNY, you know, you're going to watch, I mean, Juan Soto get walked all the time, and he's not wrong about that. Linda in Long Beach up next to the fan. What's going on, Linda?
Yeah, and that was my point exactly. Soto was not a Stearns guy, all right? There's nothing about that contract that it says Stearns on it, all right? That was the boss. He brought him in. And then let the protection walk out the door. They want Severino, a guy that could pitch in New York. He brought back Montas. He was not watching what Montas did with the Yankees. He'd watch what he did with the Milwaukee. They brought him in. Stinks. But every Met fan could have told you he was going to stink. All right? That's it. So Severino, a seven-inning pitcher. They didn't want him.
Sevy wanted to come back, and Stearns said, thanks, but no thanks. We're moving on. Yeah, I agree. Montas, everybody and their mother thought the Montas signing was a disaster when they made it.
Was disgusting, all right? So now we're going to give this guy who has no protection for Soto, let a guy who was never injured, played every day, and was an RBI guy and a home run power guy, and gave protection to Soto and let him walk out the door.
Yeah, they did. Linda,
Why did they bring in Soto?
Well, but Linda, can I ask you, was Alonso part of a team that won a World Series?
Oh, do you know what? No. Their pitching stunk.
Right, it did.
They had no pitching.
Okay, that's fair. That's right. I understand
that.
And then
they burnt out. Wait a minute. They burnt out the pitching. They burnt out the bullpen because the pitchers couldn't pitch more than four or five
Terrible.
Innings.
Terrible. Right, the pitching
And you
lab.
Blame Mendoza for that, and that was crazy.
I understand the hurt and the pain, the anger of Alonso leaving is real. I get it.
It's even more than that. The pitching was a disaster.
It was Linda.
We're preaching to the choir. I totally agree with you. The pitching was bad, and that's where Stearns had to overcome a couple of things. There is a lack of belief. I use the word trust. There is a lack of trust in the Stearns vision, and you got to see it in order to believe it. And I think he understands that. I think he understands if he flips on his very radio station, the vitriol, the anger that you're going to get from the Met fan right now is understandable because of the what went down a year ago. The fact that, you know, guys that were well-liked by this fan base are no longer here. That there potentially is a regression back into the bullpen, replacing Edwin Diaz with Devin Williams. And that you don't necessarily trust in the vision of David Stearns. I get it. And I mentioned it before. It's kind of funny where you've got a, you know, the richest singular owner in all of Major League Baseball, and now he's getting limited by the president, who wants to go out there and build this team with scrappers and, you know, and you know, grinders day in and day out. Doesn't want necessarily the stars. But I mentioned before, listen, the Soto signing, yes, that was a Cone signing, and I said it worked. Now you might say, well, why did it work? The Mets didn't win a World Series. They didn't go to the playoffs. They crashed and burned at the end, right? But look at the impact of the Soto signing from a business perspective. Look at the amount of people that showed up. The Soto signing lit a fire under the Met fan base where there was a celebratory mood and taking a guy from the Yankees. So that's why that all worked. Now, will it work long term? Well, the goal is obviously winning. Pat New Rochelle's up next to the fan. What's going on, Pat?
Good morning or good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm great, Pat. How are you, bud?
I'm delightful. Here's my real simple, and the guy from Stanford was on par. I struggle with Mendoza and somebody having to check his pulse every once in a while during a game. But the Alonso thing, it's evident that he just was not a good team player. When the Lindor thing came up last year, when David Wright was getting put into the Mets Hall of Fame, and Lindor was going to be the next captain, and all that propaganda was happening, It should have been Pete Alonso. If there was people behind Pete Alonso, he should have been the guy that talked about being captain, but it never was. And he's never been that type of person to be that leader. Yeah, he'll pop your home runs, but he's not going to lead it. He's on a decline. David Stearns is an analytics guy, and he knows what he has coming up through his system. He's not stupid. He's going to be trading for good guys. People just have to be patient. And Nimmo's on a decline, and McNeil declined. They got to have, a rookie pitcher who's, you know, hasn't hit puberty yet for him, so.
Well, he's 17. I believe he's hit puberty, but I get the point that you're making. He's young, right? You know, you look at, you want to, okay, you can look at Nimmo, Alonso for what they are. The Met fan is thinking about what this team is going to look like after a disastrous 2025, what this team is going to look like in 2026. I mean, that's what they're looking at. And they want to see a representable, viable product. And they want to see a winning product. And they don't want there to be limitations or looking toward 2 or 3 years from now. Look at that, Steve Appria across the way. Nobody better than Appria. Beautiful ponytail, Steve. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. He's the best. Anyway, I digress. As far as the Mets, I think you got to just wait it out. I get the impatience. I get the lack of trust in David Stearns. I understand what's transpired during the course of this offseason up until this point in time. But the offseason is not complete. It is not done. The piece of artwork not finished just yet. We'll see what it looks like at the end. Now, does it look like a Monet or does it look like graffiti on the side of a truck? I want to thank our friends at Town Fair Tire. To remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires you trust. From Connecticut to Maine, nobody beats Town Fair Tire, and I mean nobody.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I miss Christmas when I was a kid. Like, when you were a kid, you didn't worry about anything. There was no, like, pressure. All you worried about, like, being good, whatever. See what Santa brings under the Christmas tree. You hope it snowed. Maybe went out there and had a snowball fight with your kids. Go sleigh riding. All those kind of things. Like, listen to Bing. Listen to, you know, the Christmas music. Everything it might be. Like, it was great, right? You go to the mall. Take the picture with Santa. Do all those things. When you get, you know, have kids, like, and, you know, the pressure. Like, Christmas represents a little bit of pressure. It just does, because you got to get everything right. Well, first off, you want to make great memories for your kids, right? You want to be a good parent. You want to be a good dad, good mom. You want to make great memories for your kids. You want it to be memorable. Everything's got to be memorable, right? So, but tremendous amount of pressure. There's no doubt about it. And throw on to the mix that, like, we're hosting Christmas Day. And I've talked about before, my wife is a baker. She's not really she doesn't like to chef it up in the kitchen. Right. And I understand that's all good. Right. There's no limit. But, you know, it's not like we're having 20, 30 people over at the house. But, you know, the pressure to go out there and now cook an entire meal where, you know, my wife a couple of days ago sends me a text. What is the menu for Christmas Day? And so I'm like, oh, let me think about this for a second. Well, you have to answer it properly. What would you like to eat? Instead of me, like, going out there telling you, like, this is what we're going to... No, what would everyone like to eat? Let's do a spiral ham. So you got to get a spiral ham. You got to go, what else would you like? And so I'm going to... So I set the menu, and I think it's a pretty good menu. Like, it's not like it's going to be, like, anything crazy, but we're doing a spiral ham. I think we're doing... I'm going to do pineapple dressing, roasted potatoes, broccoli, and then the little pasta as the appetizer is going to be stuffed shells, homemade stuffed shells, right? So I'm excited to go out there and make the meal. I get a text from Donna last night. By the way, I saw this on Instagram. Could you make this for me and the kids in the morning? I was like, what is that? Challah bread French toast casserole. I'm like, sure. Yeah, can you send me the recipe? Now I'm curious in terms of what is next. Like, what is going to be thrown on my plate next to go along with everything else? To go along with making sure the kids are having a memorable Christmas. You know, there's no frolicking in the snow. There's no snowball fights. There's none of that. It's making sure everything is A-OK. Everyone has a great time. And the pressure that you feel as a parent around Christmas time at times, and this has nothing to do with what Santa brings under the tree. I'm talking about everything else that comes along with the territory. And then you get concerned, just like at Thanksgiving, about the conversations at the Christmas table as well and what is going down there. You just want everyone to have a good time. And what I look at, the perspective I have is now think about the kids. But if you think about the Melusa's household on Christmas Day, just envision me. As I'm breaking down sports with you today, I'm going to basically be in the kitchen from, I would say, give or take, 7:30 in the morning to give or take about 4:30 at night, cooking the entire day. That's the Mark Melusis Christmas. And hopefully the food's good and nobody gets sick. That's the other thing. Hector in Washington Heights up next to the fan. What's going on, Hector?
Sounds like tons of fun, huh? Moose.
Oh, yeah. Merry Christmas, Hector. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Moose. Great to hear you, man. It's been a while. So I got to call my guy, Moose, and then the conversation is great. You said one thing a couple of minutes before you went on break, though, that had me cracking up, but I'm thinking, yeah, the Soto signing definitely lit up a fire in the fan base last year.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, you know what happened this offseason? David Stearns has taken a fire extinguisher to that fire. Now, the team is going to put it all out. But it's very, it's diminished right now, Moose. It's diminished right now. And listen, man.
No, what let's not pull any punches here. What David Stearns is doing is the president of the team is taking advantage of an opportunity.
Yeah, listen. And
the opportunity was presented to you by the team's performance on the field.
Yes. And I'm not knocking for him, and I understand that. At the same time, I'm someone who thought that, you know, maybe you could win with a couple of those guys. You didn't want to move on from one or two of them. You know, we all, and I'm a McNeil guy. I like McNeil, but the conversation's been going on for a while, whether the Mets should trade Jack McNeil, you know, whether is he good enough on the field, is he good enough in the clubhouse, is he a problem, all of that nonsense, right? So I did feel like that. So I'd be lying if I said I wasn't disappointed in how the offseason was, not because of McNeil. I'm just saying just overall, right? But I also have come to the realization that I myself said when David Stearns came here, I could see this guy taking a year or two to evaluate from within why a team that appears to be so talented hasn't been able to get to where it should be getting to, right? And yes, 2024 maybe derailed that a little bit because there was some success there with some magic, OMG, and all that stuff. But I think Moose, what he's done right now is he's looked at the team and he said, I cannot win with these guys.
Yeah.
But I think it goes further, Moose. And I think this is where the problem is, where the fans are and where David Stearns is. See, we as fans, we still feel like go out there, make moves, and make us a World Series contender in 2026. And I'm wondering if he's looked at it and said, you know what? I don't think there's much I can do to win in 2026. I'm going to make a competitive team. I'm going to build a competitive team. But going all out and winning a World Series, I don't think there's anything that can do to accomplish that. And I think that's where the difference and that's where the confusion comes with fans because we're seeing guys that should be maybe go after. But
here's the one pushback on that, Hector. I'll go back to a meeting that transpired last offseason between Steve Cohen and Juan Soto at his estate out there in California. Right. And we heard about the conversations coming out of that meeting. Right. And the commitment to winning that Steve Cohen made to Juan Soto on a year in and year out basis. I don't think, you know, now you're going to look at it and saying we're going to build for 27. And I think there's different ways where you might not be excited by the way that the team looks going into next year. But I don't think it's going to be a case where all of a sudden David Stearns is now. They might not be Dodger good, right? And nobody in Major League Baseball.
I'm not saying we're going to win 60 games.
No, right? But we've had, and I get the frustration with fans here. I just don't envision him going that route. Where it, now he might rely on some young players that the organization does believe in, and thinks that with the necessary experience, you're going to see the benefit of them, and there's going to be some cost benefit analysis or cost benefit. With them being able to, and then you could spend money in other places. I don't envision all of a sudden now you look at David Stearns and saying, well, we're going to operate completely like a small market team, even though we're in New York City.
I don't envision
that happening.
I'm not saying he's going completely small market team. What I'm saying is this, though. I just feel like if he's told he could go out there and really he's going to build a competitive team, and what may happen, and I'll get behind it. And if they start winning some games, we'll all forget about all of this nonsense. And if we think they're going to make the playoffs and so on and so forth, right? We'll get to the trade deadline and we'll say, oh, add to this team. We can win now. Make the right additions. And all that is good.
Yeah, Hector.
If he felt like he could win, though. Yeah. Like Cody Bellinger, wouldn't you go out there and go all in on Cody Bellinger if you thought you could win on 2026? You know what I'm saying?
But no one's
a Framber Valdez. There's guys out there that you can go and be uncomfortable with the latter part of the contract, but you feel like, you know what? I can get a World Series, maybe two, out of the front end of these guys' contract.
Well, and that's haven't won a World Series since 86. Let's get one before you think about getting two. I don't disagree with you, but I also tell you, Hector, the offseason's not done yet.
And
Hector, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, man. Thank you. Always good to hear your voice, man.
I appreciate it.
You got it, man. You as well. And I get it. All season's not done. And this is a problem for Major League Baseball on the whole. Like, Major League Baseball needs to learn from the National Football League to where the NFL does an amazing job. Outside of the product on the sport being a great TV sport, you know, we had a gambling call earlier this hour, being the easiest sport to go out there and gamble, understand the betting lines, everything that comes along with it. But what does the NFL do better than really more the other three major sports in this country? They create events every single month. They do, whether it be the unveiling of the schedule. But when you look at free agency for the National Football League, it lasts like 4 days, maybe three. I mean, maybe two. I mean, when they open up free agency, and I understand there's the, you can begin negotiations and contracts get done quickly, all that stuff. See, what has hurt Major League Baseball is this, is that the long duration of the way the offseason goes down. I'm not talking about trades. I'm talking about the fact of the free agency and how long that lasts and how it's just a slow drip, 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 drip. And that wasn't used to be the case. I mean, you know, you go back ways ago when you had trader Jack McKeon running things for the San Diego Padres, right? And he eventually wins a World Series as a manager down there in Florida, beating the Yankees in 2003, right, with Josh Beckett and company. But, you know, used to have where those winter meetings where there would be press conferences, there would be deals, everything would get done. I'm not saying every free agent was off the board during the winter meetings, but there would be a rhythm to it. There's no rhythm to it when you look at Major League Baseball. And that's a problem for the sport. That I don't know, you know, I don't know exactly. I haven't sat down, thought about it, pondered about it, thought of, you know, in terms of how you rectify it, but something needs to change to where you make those kind of things events instead of the drip, drip, drip process of free agency that Major League Baseball has developed into over the last 5 to 8 years, even probably a little bit longer than that. Bayside we go. Joe the Fan. What's going on, Joe?
How you doing, Moose? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Joe. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, let me start by saying, you know, I think this Stearns, the way he's handled this whole thing, is a little disingenuous. You know, at the end of last season, Cohen asked all of his customers to come out to the field, and the customers, the Met fan, did that, and they filled up the stadium. 3 million some odd fans showed up. At the end of the season, when the Mets didn't make it to the playoffs, Cohen sent out this missive. How he apologized and he understood the frustration of us not making the playoffs and that we're going to do better next year, which is now this year, and into the offseason we go. Do you not think that this team would have been 100% better had they did nothing other than get rid of everybody except for Diaz and Alonso and a pick up a Bellinger or another high-powered bat in the outfield? The pitching obviously was the concern for last year, and that has yet to be addressed. Now they're telling you how they need a right-handed batter, a power bat. There's no one out there now on the open market, or possibly by trade, that's better than Alonso. So why'd we get rid of him?
Well, they didn't want to give him. Alonso was never going to sign. Okay, but Joe, I listen. Alonso was never going to sign the short-term offer the Mets are willing to pay him.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that all of the things that they say they're looking for now, they got Polanco. He's no better first baseman than Alonso. He's paid what they say he played like two innings in first base last year.
No, Joe,
we don't even know if he can play.
I understand the reservations. I understand the lack of trust that you have in David Stearns and his vision. I get it, right? The comfortability. You're uncomfortable as a Met fan. Watching Alonso, you know, down in Baltimore and getting that 5-year contract. And then you're saying to yourself, well, I mean, it makes no sense, right? It's kind of silly, dopey, stupid. Now you're trying to replicate the production of a guy that you just left the building, just let leave the room. It was based on the length of the contract, long-term money. Well, David Stearns, if you know, and I know you paid attention, Joe, wasn't the biggest Alonso fan. doesn't believe in the style and nature of what Alonso and the value he brought to the team and investing in him long term. If Pete Alonso was 5 years younger, we'd be having a different conversation. Pete Alonso at this stage.
Well, that's why I say.
And that's
I
where
think I think the press is. I'm sorry.
No, I'll let you continue, Joe. And that's where there was the. It should not be a surprise that Alonso's gone.
I don't think it was a surprise. I just think it's a little disingenuous the way Stearns is handling it. Because he's saying one thing, and then by sleight of hand, he's doing another. Because if you really truly believed that you needed a great first baseman, you go out and get a very good defensive first baseman. He's yet to do that. Now, you could say, well, maybe he will. Yeah, but you're asking people to buy tickets now for season tickets, correct?
No, you are, but doesn't necessarily mean you have to buy it a couple days before Christmas or after Hanukkah or before the new year. You got the entire offseason to be able to do that.
If you're a season ticket holder and you have a seat that you normally have and you enjoy, if you decide you don't want to get it, they can sell to someone else.
Right, I get it. So now it's I'm not going to put my hand in your pocket, Joe. You could do whatever you want to do. Like, if you don't have that trust, I would say the one thing, and I've never, outside of Syracuse basketball, there's the students went along with going to university, very, very reduced rate. And Syracuse football, and they were good those days when they had Pasqualoni on the sideline and Donovan McNabb and Marvin Harrison and Rob Conrad. I mean, those were good days to be a Syracuse Orange fan. But I'm not a season ticket holder or anything. I'm not. The one thing I would say, if you're a Met fan and you're having the debate right now, sitting there, wherever it might be, and having the debate about whether or not to invest, and you have a lack of trust in Stearns, I would say this. I would negate that lack of trust in Stearns or level it out to an extent of the trust that you have in the owner. And the owner understanding the importance of fielding a winning product. And the owner understanding and how aggressive, and having an owner that all he's done, for the most part, I know not everybody wins all the time, but I mean, Steve Cohen's won at life. Like, he could plant the big V flag for victory. Like, he's won in life. Like, everything, a lot of things have gone his way. So I would trust that the owner understands, saw the people show up in droves a year ago after the Soto signing, and understands that they need to field a winning product and a competitive team and a playoff contender. That's where my trust would lie, if I don't trust necessarily the president. 1239, Malusis with you, 888-808-1019.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas. Brian, Mark Malusis with you here on The Fan. Thanks for the time this afternoon.
Thank you, Mark. Happy holidays to you, and good to be with you here this afternoon.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, I'm in awe, Brian, when you watch Shanahan with San Francisco. He's dealt with a myriad of different injuries. I understand the schedule has been favorable here, Brian, but tremendous performance last night. Purdy with the 5 touchdown passes, getting Saleh back as defensive coordinator. That is an extremely well-coached team.
They are well-coached, and in all phases too, Mark. They had special team issues in the last few years, but last night you saw the forced fumble. You saw Eddie Pinheiro almost hit one from 64. That's the only missed field goal all year. He's 27 out of 28 right now. And then, you know, just watching Brock Purdy come back from the toe injury, very severe injury, but Mark Jones, Mark kept it going there when Brock was out. They're healthy on offense right now. Christian McCaffrey is going to get over 2,000 yards. He's going to get over 100 catches. Just the subtle things that he does game planning wise week to week. It's been an impressive performance by Kyle.
How dangerous, you know, Brian, when you look at the complexion of the NFC, Eagles have got their issues, no Parsons in Green Bay. You've got the cardiac Bears who find the ways to win these games miraculously, including one on Saturday night against Green Bay. Obviously, you've got Seattle and Los Angeles in their own division in the NFC West. But if I was asking you, how dangerous do you think San Francisco is come playoff time? Are they a kind of forgotten team in the complexion of the NFC?
Maybe a little forgotten, but they're going to be dangerous because offensively, they're going to be able to score. They're going to move the football. Now, defensively, they've got issues. They don't have a lot of star talent on that side of the ball. They play really, really hard under Robert Saleh. They don't beat themselves. And I think the way Kyle will call any playoff game, home or away, is he's going to shorten the game. He's going to play ball control. He's going to limit the opposition to 7 or 8 possessions in a game. They'll score and kick field goals when they get those chances, provided the score is in the range. So I think they're going to be a tough out because they won't beat themselves. That's not who they are this year.
No, it's not. If I were asking within that division, Seattle or Los Angeles, Brian, which one? I know you got Darnold, obviously, in Seattle, and people still have concerns about him, even with the comeback victory against L.A. Last Thursday night. But Rams or Seahawks, which one of those two teams, Brian, would you lean into here moving forward?
I lean a little bit more to the Rams. I mean, I think that Matt Stafford probably has a good chance of winning the MVP this year, and rightfully so, the way he's performed. He's lined up, 15 straight weeks in a row. And nothing against Seattle. They're very well balanced. I think that in big games and big spots, we got to see if Sam Darnold can play a clean game. We're pretty sure that Matt Stafford can. Can Sam Darnold in a big spot, in a big game, playing a clean game? We all have some doubts about that. We saw that last Thursday night. They split between the Rams and Seattle. Both games were could have gone either way. Came down to really the final possession. So, but I'd give the lean. I'd lean a little bit more towards the Rams right now.
You know, staying in the NFC and focusing on the Giants here, Brian, I'm curious, two things. I want to ask you about Dart, what you've seen from him since, suffering the concussion and obviously the loss of his head coach in Brian Daboll in a game, this past week where the Giants tried to run it. He only attempted 13 passes, and it seemed from the naked eye that he did not want to run it or take unnecessary hits. What have you seen here as of late from Jackson Dart?
I haven't really seen that. I mean, I'd like to see him surrounded with some real talent.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little tired, like all Giant fans, of seeing receivers just drop passes one after another. I mean, the interception last week that, really put the Vikings in good position was right through Theo Johnson's hands. We've seen 2 drops last week, a bunch during the season. I'd like to see him with some real top-notch talent, not just neighbors, but really a top-flight tight end, some running backs that can really do some damage. I just feel like we're not seeing anywhere near the best of them. I mean, even last week, once once Minnesota realized that they really didn't have an answer to the blitz zero looks, they just kept coming after him with it. They never really hurt him with it. And so I think Dart's going to be okay. He has taken too many hits, but I don't think he's reluctant to run. He ran on, you know, short yardage, goal line, head first, getting the first downs. I just want to see him with better talent around him right now.
When you look at the future for the Giants, and Brian, you know this, Giant fans are thinking about who's going to be coaching this team. You know, McCarthy's out there. They're looking at coordinators across the league. I want to throw a name out there if he shakes free. What about the idea of John Harbaugh, who's now getting asked about his future down in Baltimore? Ravens have had a disappointing season, banged up. Lamar hurt back once again Sunday night. We saw that, knocked him out of the Patriot game. What about if Harbaugh shakes free? Do you think he would be a guy that would fit New York with the Giants?
Yeah, I do. If a change is needed in Baltimore, if a change gets made, I would love a guy that's still in his prime, has coached a lot of big games, has always had great kickers, something the Giants probably could. They'd be happy with just an improved kicking game at this point right now. But he's a disciplined coach. He gets guys to play to his vision. He'll get a good staff. I think he'd be a really good prospect if he would shake loose in Baltimore.
Would he move to the top of your list, Brian?
He'd be right at it. I mean, I'd look at some of the coordinators because we're seeing what Liam Cohen has done. We're seeing what good coordinators can do in this business and how they can turn things around. So I'd take a look at some of the young guys that are out there right now. But honestly, you'd be hard-pressed to find a more complete coach and a guy that has done it like John Harbaugh, from winning a Super Bowl to getting to the playoffs to taking a guy like Lamar Jackson, who was drafted at the bottom of the pit. Nobody thought he could become an MVP of the league when he was drafted, and he got the right coaches and personnel and style of offense where he was a two-time MVP. So I think your quarterback would flourish. I think John would be – I think he'd be welcome to New York, and he knows how to handle the media and all that kind of stuff, but he just knows how to put a no-nonsense team together.
And that's exactly what the Giants need. I'm going to agree with you. I think it would be a home run hire if he does shake free down in Baltimore and the Ravens feel like it's time for a little bit of a change. What's been your impressions of Glenn here? Year number one, reports over the weekend. He's going to be brought back. You would expect that. Obviously, they've made some changes and some trades at the NFL trade deadline, but Wilkes out as defensive coordinator last week. What's been your impressions of Aaron Glenn year one as Jets head coach?
Well, I mean, I think that they've cleaned up a lot of the operation that really plagued this team early on, the pre-snap penalties and just the dummy head football that they were playing. It's been cleaned up quite a bit. We're seeing some players develop. Juwan Briggs looks like he's going to be a good defensive tackle going forward. I think that the offensive line, for the most part, has played pretty good. They need a quarterback. I mean, all you have to do is watch that game last week against New Orleans and look at Tyler Shuck on one side, complete pass after pass. He completed so many passes to Chris Olave. And when Olave didn't have a quarterback, he was invisible in this business. You didn't even know he was out there. You get a quarterback that can complete passes, because I think when you look at some of the young receivers they brought in via trade, I think they have a chance with some of them. And so I think this thing can be built in his vision the right way. But, you know, I think they've got to make some real strong personnel decisions, including they got to figure out what they want on defense and who they want to call the defense, because that's going to be important when you go up against much improved teams in New England and then what Josh Allen and the Bills provide.
We're talking to Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Brian, we did the overall complexion NFC. I want to flip it over to the AFC here. Playoffs are going to look different. You know, Allen's still going to be there, but, you know, no Mahomes, no Burrow. Some of the names have changed. I understand so there are some that had Kansas City Chief fatigue. It's going to be odd, I'll be honest with you. Watching these playoffs in the AFC and not seeing a game that involves Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I mean, five straight. I mean, let's see, seven or eight straight AFC championship games went through Kansas City. So that's not going to happen this year. But the teams that have replaced him in Denver is a very good football team with a good, young, dynamic quarterback in Bo Nix, a defense that can sack the quarterback. They got a reigning defensive player of the year in Patrick Surtain, a really good multiple defense. Jim Harbaugh just knows how to coach. And really, the Chargers are going to be a problem because they don't beat themselves. They can run the football. The quarterback is a star. He needs to win playoff games. So I think, you know, what New England is doing right now is a complete rebuild right in front of us with a really good young quarterback. And so I feel like there's some, you know, and then if you look at what Jacksonville is doing right now, you know, I think that they're, and what Houston can do defensively, I don't think that we're going to go to this postseason and go, boy, we missed Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. I think we're going to see like a bunch of really competitive games that come down to final possessions, big plays, star power, young players developing and emerging right in front of us. So I think it's going to be healthy for the league right now in this postseason.
Yeah, Brian, and the team that you mentioned last is the one that intrigues me the most with when it comes to the complexion of the AFC, and that's the Texans. You know, pound for pound, best defense in the NFL. I think Stroud learned a little bit from Davis Mills stepping in when he was dealing with that concussion, that you don't have to do too much. That's how good that defense is. I think they're going to be, and they're riding the 7-game winning streak. They survived a little bit of a scare by the Raiders on Sunday. That Texans team is going to be really dangerous come playoff time.
I completely agree. You know, they changed offensive line coach, offense coordinators last year. The quarterback isn't getting hit like he was getting hit. But they do enough offensively. If they score 20 points, they're probably going to win most games. You saw last week Darryl Stingley Jr. take a pick six back. But, you know, I know Myles Garrett's probably going to win the defensive player of the year, and rightfully so. But if he the runner-up is going to be Will Anderson. Nobody in this league plays harder than Will Anderson. Nobody wants to see that guy in a playoff spot, how hard he plays, how well-coached they are defensively. They don't have a weakness defensively, not one. And they can affect the quarterback. They're going to be a problem. They're going to be a hard out when they get to the postseason because they are going to get there.
Yeah, they are going to get there. NFC South, Brian, I want to ask you, which team are you taking, Panthers or Bucs?
I'm going to see the Panthers this weekend. As good as, you know, they obviously knocked off Tampa last week, but they see Seattle this week at home. Like, that's a tough game for them. But I like what I'm seeing from Carolina. They're very well coached defensively. They have a lot of really – they look like an expansion franchise. Guys have come from all different teams.
Yeah.
They've been molded and well coached. And they do just enough offensively to give you some cause for concern. I'm going to take the Panthers because I don't trust the Bucs defense right now in any kind of a big game.
Yeah, and they've obviously the three straight losses for Tampa Bay at home to New Orleans and Falcons and then on the road last week to Carolina. And the magic with Baker Mayfield, that's the other issue. I mean, there was a point in time, first 6-7 weeks of the season, Brian, when you talked about Baker Mayfield, who's an MVP candidate, that magic, and I understand they've been hit by injuries, but that magic is worn off.
It has, and really, you know, all the guys that were injured, from Mike Evans to Chris Godwin to Bucky Irving to Tristan Wirfs, all those guys that were injured are all back. And so even with everybody back in the lineup last week, they couldn't, you know, they couldn't overcome a three-point deficit in the fourth quarter to go win a game, which was for first place in that division. And so he can still, you know, Baker can still get out of harm's way. He can still go scramble for a first down. But the big throws that we saw him make early this year to win games and throughout the year last year, we're not seeing those right now.
Brian, last one for you, and that is with what we saw last night with Rivers and really what we've seen from him the last 13 days. Just that you played the game, to be out of football for 5 years – and then to step back in and play quarterback, and I understand there's limitations. He's 44 years old, but that is, like, it's such an easy story to root for. And honestly, after watching the last two games, Seattle and last night against San Fran, I miss Rivers in the NFL.
Well, you miss his fire, but this is what has not been replaced. The arm is diminished. The legs aren't taking him anywhere, but the mind is still sharp as can be. And he's got a shot put the ball, you know, to his receivers, but tough and smart. And there's still a place for quarterbacks in this league that can beat you with what they see pre-snap. You can't fool him. He gave him a chance last night. They put up a good number of points. Defense let him down. But, yes, there's a place for a quarterback that has – you know, they always say this, Mark. They say the problem with experience is by the time you get enough of it, you're too old to enjoy it. Philip Rivers can still enjoy a little bit because of the experience that he still holds.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Hey, Brian, always great talking a little NFL with you. Happy holidays to you and your family. Appreciate the time today.
Right back at you, Mark. Happy holidays to you.
You got it. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. We've hit one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.